it's your buddy and mine,
Mr. Bobby Bones.
Let's go.
Transmitting across America.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
That's right.
Now, here he is.
Turn it up.
Come on, Bobby. Hey, welcome to the show. Morning studio.
Morning.
Ryan Hurd comes in later. I'm a big fan of this guy. Ryan Hurd comes in. You know, on the show, I think it was last week, Eddie, our video producer, sang the national anthem. Mostly you were hating on...
What's the guy? Andy Grammer,
which I thought you were a little rude to do that because you were like, he didn't sing very good.
Yeah, I'm just normally not what I do, but I watched it and I was like, this is a big stage for this guy, and then he did a mediocre performance.
And then Eddie's like, I think I can sing better. And so what we do on this show is we call people out. We go, okay, big shot, go for it. And then he sang it. And he
actually, on the spot.
And he actually sang it pretty good. You know, it was good. And it was, you know, I wanted him to kind of bomb it so we could be like, see, it was kind of harder than you thought.
I went home. My wife was like, you sounded so good singing the national anthem. I'm like, wow. If my wife thought I sounded good, I'll take it.
So what happened after that?
Offers just started rolling in. I got an offer to do opening game of the Daytona Tortugas.
Is that a baseball team?
Yeah, I think it's a minor league baseball team in Daytona. I'm like, dude, opening day? That's amazing. And in my mind, I'm like, okay, you start small. Daytona Tortugas. Then you move on over locally, maybe the Nashville Preds, okay. NHL hockey. Then maybe the Titans. And then, dude, after the Titans, you're talking playoff football. You're talking national championship and possibly the Super Bowl.
Are you going to take one of these offers and go sing the national anthem?
I need to ask you. I mean, is it okay? I don't know what...
Do they pay you to do that?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't either.
But what do you... If you were my agent...
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we...
This is what I would say. What's important to you?
Well, America.
No.
One.
Well, obviously.
Uh-huh, the national anthem.
Is your goal to be a national anthem singer on a big stage?
Well, see, this is how I look at life.
Go ahead.
It's not my goal, but... I'm really in this point in my life where I don't want to turn down opportunities. And this one just came up. I'm watching the national championship football game. I don't like how the guy sings it. You put me on the spot. I sing the song. It came out pretty good out of my, I mean, this is just, when's it could
the,
be fate.
When's the Daytona Tortugas game? Do you know?
Oh, the start of baseball season. So
like March, April?
Yeah, I would think.
Well, I don't want you to leave the show to do it, but I do think you should start to pursue something locally.
I mean,
I think you should go do it.
Like the local go-to guy.
Some teams have the resident national anthem singer?
Most of the time they bring somebody in.
Oh.
But you could sing here. Like, we have a minor league baseball team.
Sure.
You should reach out to them and try to get on.
Okay.
And then try to
He's
get
gonna
on.
He's going
to
reach out?
Yeah.
Well, it's like a resume tape, right?
Set up a fake email that's your agent. And be like,
Eddie at Red, White, and Blue.
No, fake one. This is Henry.
Yeah. Okay. Henry at Red, White, and Blue Singer.com.
Yeah. You got to take a look at my client, producer Eddie.
You want to come sing, so try to get on a minor league game.
Okay.
Lunchbox.
The Tortugas, I believe they open Thursday, April 4th.
It's Thursday. See, that's tough.
That's tough. You got to be on the show.
How about you guys come to the game and we'll do the show from there?
The Tortugas?
Yeah.
That's interesting. No. But still, I think you should pursue it. And people are coming after you.
I mean, dude, they're coming in.
Amy sang at the Wichita Wingnuts baseball game.
Yeah, and y'all all came.
We did.
It was a whole thing.
We flew to Wichita. We like her more than you.
Yeah.
I
didn't
tell
get
that.
Paid,
Sorry,
Eddie.
Buddy.
So,
yeah.
And nobody contacted me after. So, good luck.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Big three stories.
It's producer Raymundo in weather news. 50s and 60s in most places. A lot colder up north. Out west, tons of rain. Snow along the Rocky Mountains. In other news, Netflix raised subscription prices. They went from $11 to $13 every month. Netflix is getting a lot of backlash on social media. And finally, your tax returns won't be delayed. The IRS announced their workers are still working on your tax returns throughout the government shutdown. So there you go.
Bobby Bones.
Yeah.
What do you think the age is when you should have your life together?
30.
Yeah? So you're 38? 37?
37.
Yeah, do you feel like your life's together?
No.
No, you don't?
No, but I just think 30 is a good age of where you start to get into your career. You figure out maybe if you're in a relationship, if you're going to have a family. I don't know. All the things.
The age where, according to the survey where they did like 80,000 people, most people feel the age where we should have your life together is 39 years old.
Oh, so I still have time.
You still have time. I still have time.
That's awesome.
But I think we have different parts of our lives.
Because
nobody has their whole life together, right?
Mm. No.
Because you're always if you want something to be, substantially better, you have to sacrifice something else. For me, I've had to sacrifice a lot of my personal life for my career. Now it comes to the point where I have so much career going that I have no personal life. I'm going, ooh, I'd like to, which means I have to peel back from the career. Like, if you just want it all even, you know, you're really not going to have anything that's it's topping the charts there.
Yeah.
So Amy has a lot of personal life.
Yeah, certain things when I think of having it all together, sometimes I think of it's like the adulting of it all and the responsibilities and taking care of it. Sometimes I don't even know how it happens, but it happens, you know?
Yeah, sometimes you just have to figure it out.
You just figure it out, and I don't even know how we take care of these two kids, and they're in school, and they go there every day, and it's like...
And you didn't even get to grow as parents, because you adopted kids, they came, and they were 7 and 10.
Yeah, and
so you didn't have that time to grow as parents.
11 going on 16.
Yeah, your daughter?
Yes, it's a lot.
Are the girls that your daughter... I guess she's in homeschool, so there are no kids there, huh?
Yeah, she has no really other friends right
now. Bad influences.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Because there was some bad influences at other school. She would come home with stuff. And now I'm like, she's pretty isolated. She got a teacher and herself. It's pretty cool.
Other age milestones. At 29, the average adult should have a solid group of friends. By 31, they should have met and fallen in love with the one. By 31.
Oh, sorry, Mommy.
It's okay.
There's still time.
Yeah. This is average.
Yeah.
You have time.
44% of those surveyed said they didn't think they'd ever have their lives completely together. I don't think you do get your life completely together.
How can you?
Meaning?
Like, I mean, you're always got to pay for stuff. You got this. And the older you get, you have kids. So then your life goes out of balance that way. Or, I mean, it's just there's no way you can have it all together.
Mm-hmm. 25% of people said their love life was a disaster. How do you feel about that?
At what age?
25% of people say their love life is a disaster.
Oh. No.
Yours pretty good?
No, besides our fighting about time.
Lunchbox?
I mean, we fight, so I mean, I wouldn't say it's a disaster, but I wouldn't say it's all rosy, but I mean...
Like, any relationship is going to have things that you're working through.
Mine's not a disaster.
Even friendships.
Oh. A disaster would be something miserable happening. Yeah. I'm not miserable.
Okay.
I'm actually pretty good.
All right, you are. Climbing rocks with him, and you know.
I went on one date. See, that's why I didn't even want to mention the one date.
Right.
Because then it becomes a thing.
Yeah, but you did, so.
No, I just said I was sore because I went rock climbing.
And then I said, who'd you go with? And you said, well, there's this girl from yoga.
Did you want me to lie? Did you want me to lie?
No, but sometimes you say, don't worry about it.
Yeah, but then you know I'm lying.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
I don't want to get into the story. Well, okay, well, there you have it. As long as you're together by 39, you're good.
Okay.
Morgan, number two, you're the youngest on the show. How do you feel about all this?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. I don't feel like my life is all together right now.
You're also 12. So.
Yeah, you won't. Like at 25, I probably thought at 35, oh, that's when my life's going to be all together and you don't deal with like drama and friend stuff and gossip and this and that. But guess what?
Yep.
It still happens.
It still feels like
high school.
Still.
Your feelings still get hurt. You still cry about dumb things. And you're like, oh my gosh, I'm almost 40 years old. I cannot believe I'm feeling this way. Insecurities, paying bills. Stuff like that.
Open up.
Amy's just opening up.
It's slowly unraveling over there.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Our video producer, Eddie, has a whole article about tipping.
Yeah, I read an article in a magazine, and it broke down all of the percentages of, like, your tab or just how much money you would tip a bunch of different people.
All right, give me an example.
Example, the wait staff, you know, it's 15 to 20%.
Okay, give me an example, but don't tell me what it is.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
Bartender.
Ooh. Of course, I don't drink. But Lunchbox, what do you tip a bartender?
Oh, if they make the drink strong, I'll give them $1.
But what if they don't make the drink strong?
I'll get you next time.
But what if it's a big order? Does it matter? It's just $1?
Yeah, $1.
I would think, and again, I'll go to the bar occasionally, but I would, because I don't know the rules, I would just tip 20% there,
yes.
too.
Oh,
yeah.
Whoa.
It's a lot.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, what's the rule?
$1 to $2 a drink.
But which one, I don't know which one would be more though, right?
Sounds like, what if your drink's only $4?
Yeah, because you buy a $3 beer, I'm giving you a $1 tip? That's ridiculous.
That
is more than 20.
Okay, what else?
And the hair salon.
Well, I've been with my hair person for a long time, years.
Is she still at a no-tip salon or she moved, mm-hmm. right?
She was at a no-tip and it was a little more expensive.
Because I guess the tip was already built in?
Yes,
and they don't let you tip. Now I'm in a salon where you tip, and I tip double the price.
Whoa!
So you go all, you just double the bill?
Because she...
What?
She gives you a great...
I will tell you why, because my schedule is so crazy that she will move people, because I'm like, I'm in town for 2 days anyway. And so the fact that she'll do that, like, I have to take care of her. She takes care of me. Mm-hmm.
It does say that in the article, that, like, if they do go above and beyond or they do extra stuff, well, then, yeah, you can tip way more.
What's the hair salon supposed to be?
Hair salon is 15 to 20% as well.
Okay, what else?
Valet. This one's tricky. I didn't know there was an actual number to valet.
A $5 bill or all the ones I have. Unless it's like I'm parking up front and I have to leave really quickly, then like a 10. You know?
Yeah.
One of those. Are those right?
That's kind of what they say, $2 to $5. Now, if it's raining or it's extra whatever, you can also do more.
I only tip if it's complimentary valet. Like, you know, when the place pays, like if you pull up and it's free valet, then the valet tip driver gets a tip. If I got to pay to valet, why do they get a tip?
Because they're usually in a garage. They have to pay for the spots, too.
And they're still working.
And they're still working. And they're not. It's like a waiter. Like, I pay them for the food. Why do I got a tip?
Yeah.
No, it's a service, too. What about, like, a repairman? If they come to your house, do you tip them?
No.
You don't?
Well, no, because normally I'm like being billed by the company somewhere. They don't give me the bill, do they?
No.
Should we be?
I try to keep cash and slide them cash. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
If someone's coming to my house to do something, I give them cash.
Yeah.
Like when they're done with the job and just like, thank you.
Like, I appreciate it. Because listen, I never turned down a tip. Even when I was working at bagging groceries.
Yeah.
Or working at Hobby Lobby, I never turned down a tip because I was like, please.
Yeah.
That's smart.
Anything.
Thoughtful.
What about Sonic? If you go to Sonic, do you tip the
yes.
Yeah, me too. Lunchbox?
No! No! It's just like going through a drive-thru. They hand you your food. That's all they do.
Yeah.
No, sometimes they skate out to you. It's impressive.
Yeah, and you know what? If you can, why not? Mm-hmm. Really. If you can, why not?
But Sonic is the rare place where they get paid way
like
more.
$7 an hour. Right?
Listen, if they bring you my food...
I know. I
give
agree.
Them a little extra something. Yeah.
Do you tip
change.
Movers?
Yes.
Yeah. How about... You ever go to the bathroom? Do women bathroom have bathroom attendants? Like if you go to...
At some clubs, if you go to, like even in Nashville on Broadway, sometimes there's someone in there and it's like so awkward because you never have money. And then they're not really... You're like, wait. Sometimes they'll be like, hairspray? And I'm like, no.
Yeah, that's
good.
A weird one.
And they'll squirt the soap in your hand for you like you can't do it yourself. And yes.
I mean, but really you could go get your own food too if you wanted to at Sonic. You could go in and get the food.
Right. Yeah. If they're at the bathroom still, I just don't wash my hands no matter...
That
deters me from washing my hands because I don't want the awkward interaction.
There you have it, folks.
There you go.
Keeping it clean here on the show.
The latest from Nashville and Hollywood. Morgan number two's 30 Second Skinny.
Kacey Musgraves performed a cover of I Will Survive on her 2019 tour with opening act Natalie Prass. Here's that clip. John Party is headed out on tour with Dierks Bentley, and he says that the one thing he refuses to do while on tour with Dierks is that whole ice bath thing. He's more of a sauna hot tub guy. Trisha Yearwood is putting out another album this year. Aside from the album of Frank Sinatra covers, she has a country album that's almost finished and will most likely be out fall of this year. I'm Morgan number two. That's your skinny.
It's time for the good news.
With Bobby.
Tell me something good.
There's an auto junkyard in Sterling Heights, Michigan, and what they do when the cars come in, they do a deep clean. And so they go through and they take the change out of them, sometimes 12 cents, sometimes they find like $3 or $4. So what they do is they take all these coins and they end up dumping it into a humongous bucket. They donate 3,000 pounds of spare change to a lot of the local causes in the neighborhood.
That's cool.
The huge collection of coins ended up being worth $4,500, and they're able to help the school out, the local school, and the food pantry.
See, this is like the thing where it's like a little bit can make a difference, because every single person that just that the money belonged to seemed like a little bit, but then it adds up to a lot.
You know what was so fulfilling back in the day was dumping all that stuff in the Coinstar.
Oh, that was
like
cool.
You take all your change, you dump it all in there. But then they keep a little bit of it.
Yeah, that's a waste.
Yeah, but they stored it and count it for you.
I know. You're just paying someone to count it for you, basically. Or back in the day, you used to go to the bank and get rollers.
Mm-hmm.
And you roll up your own quarters.
That was a pain.
That was a pain, right? But still, it's pretty awesome whenever you take them. Oh, I used to recycle cans. And then I would take and get money to. The joys of our childhood that kids won't even know anymore. You know, now they're all making memes. You know?
They don't even know.
Bobby Bone Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from Wayne, New Jersey. A 59-year-old man checked into a Ramada Inn, went to his room. An hour later, he's like, all right, I think it's the perfect time to go rob the front desk. Hmm. Throws the sheet over his head, goes down to the front desk, pulls out a gun, says, give me all the money. The guy goes, didn't you just check in here like an hour ago?
Under his real name.
Under his real name. I'm Lunchbox. That's your bonehead story of the day.
I also wonder how much cash you're going to get from a Ramada, because most people don't show up and pay cash.
Yeah.
I'd never have paid cash at a hotel. It's always credit card. They want your credit card. Wait, what are you going to get? Snack machine money?
Right.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Lunchbox.
The Bobby Bones Show.
What better way to start off the new year than with the new game? Hey, it's Bobby Bones here. I want to remind you about the show's favorite mobile puzzle game, Best Fiends. That's right, folks. Best Fiends is the puzzle game America's talking about. With 5-star ratings on the Apple App Store and Google Play, you will not want to miss out on all the fun collecting tons of cute characters and solving thousands of addictive puzzles. The game has been downloaded millions and millions of times because it's absolutely amazing. I had so many tweets, people going, I downloaded Best Fiends. It's updated all the time, so there's always something new and exciting to play and explore. It's friends without the R, Best Fiends. And it's the type of game that never gets boring once you play it, and I think once you start playing, you'll understand what I'm talking about. Best Fiends is not like any other puzzle game, so you're going to love it. Do yourself a favor. This new year, go download Best Fiends for free in the Apple App Store or Google Play today. That's Friends Without the R. The game is called Best Fiends. Go.
On the Bobby Bones Show now.
Ryan Hurd.
There he is. Come on. There he is. Look at this guy. All tall and
that's a heck of an intro.
Good looking. Have a seat, my friend. We're on the air here. Get those headphones on. Ryan Hurd is here. Let me play some of this new song, by the way. Here's Ryan Hurd to a T. Tonight, girl.
Hey.
Hey, feeling?
I feel good.
How was the new year?
It was really nice.
Yeah, what'd you guys do?
Maren played in New Orleans for Dick Clark, and then we actually got home in time for midnight, so we were just kind of like sat at the house and had some champagne and then went to bed.
Was that performance for New Year's Eve not recorded?
They actually recorded a performance the day before because they thought it was going to rain, but then ended up doing it live.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Because I have a lot of friends that played, and they went like a month earlier.
Yeah, all the L.A. stuff, I think, was
that's what it was. Yeah.
So I think New York and L.A. were live, which was really cool. It was an awesome event. It's always cool to see like her do like cool stuff and also like see behind the scenes how it all goes, like comes together. It was a really fun New Year's.
What's the goal for you this year? Big Ryan Hurd New Year's resolution.
You know what? I didn't make one. But I'm really happy right now, and I'm excited to make more music and get to put more songs out. So, I don't know. I think I learned a lot last year about myself, and I got married. And so this year, I'm kind of just enjoying all those things. And, I don't have any, like, big thing that I want. I mean, we have hopes that, like, maybe we'll sell some more tickets for our shows and get to put a whole album out, but like
for
as
what
far
what shows
as,
though, Ryan Hurd? Everything you have is sold out. I was looking online. It's like Hollywood, sold out. The Bowery Ballroom, sold out. New York, Chicago, sold out. Exit in Nashville, sold out.
Yeah, I want to play more of those.
But I mean, they're not even for sale right now. They're for sale. Oh, anyway, now look at you. Ryan Hurd is here. I'm going to play this song first before we get talking a little more. This is To a T. Tell me about this song.
Well, I wrote it with Laura Veltz, who wrote Rich for Maren, and I Could Use a Love Song, and she wrote We Do Us, which you played before anybody else did, and she's just a really close friend that we kind of have come up writing songs with, and I have tons of songs that I've recorded for my record company, and when I played them this one, they kind of stopped everything else and said, this is the one we have to run with, so I don't know, it's just a song that I think is, like, it's a sentiment that everybody feels, but is kind of said in a really fresh way. And it was really fun to write, like, all the wordplay in the back of the chorus. And when we put it out, it's definitely been the song that has reacted the most with listeners and fans. And it's been a really exciting ride already.
To a T. Here we go. I'm play this. Wait, do you think of, well, maybe in this instance, like Maren or before you did, like whatever, do you think of people when you write songs and write specifically about people?
There's a joke in Nashville with songwriters. They say that if you're writing a song with Ryan, you're writing a song about Maren. And so that has been going on, I guess, for 3 years now. And it's kind of nice to have a muse that everybody can point to. And nobody has to guess what's being written about. But it was also really nice to put out a song that's not super personal. Because we put out, like, Love in a Bar, and that was, like, an autobiographical song. We put out Diamonds, and that was Diamonds Are Twine, and that was, like, our wedding song. And now it's just nice to put out just a
straight up love song. It's not super specific to anything, but I really do love like that it's not, it's obviously about her and she's singing on it, which is cool. It's just, she knows she can sing on whatever she wants to.
Oh, Maren sings on it. That's her in the back.
Yeah. She's just doing the harmonies and, she liked this. She liked this song before anybody else did, and told me I was really stupid for not putting it out. But she just kept saying, "You need to put out to a T. You need to put out to a T." And then I was going to put out something different, and then ended up that this was the right choice. And I have a really good A&R team. So
on the Bobby Bones Show now,
Ryan Hurd.
Hey, so you had another number one since we saw you last. Ryan Hurd wrote this song too. Somebody wrote this?
Yep. I picture, actually, when I'm in the car, if this comes on, this is weird, but I picture you, like, painting a house somewhere.
What do you
it's
mean?
It's weird. Well, because I know he wrote it, and when he's talking about getting out the paint and painting the lake house or whatever, I like him picturing him painting. It's weird.
You picture Ryan painting, not Luke.
Yeah, Ryan.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. I don't know who
you
the
picture
girl.
Me doing all the work.
Yes.
I remember when Luke, because I was on American Idol last year, and I'm back on this year, but I remember when, I think Luke played this on the Idol finale, and it was the first time he had played it, and I was like, I was so happy for you.
Yeah.
I'm happy for Luke, but Luke's rich, and Luke's awesome. He's, you know, he's done, Luke's here, but I was happy for you, because I was like, hey, Ryan's song. Like, he's going to pay the bills for a while now. It's good.
That dude is exactly, what you see with him is exactly what you get. He is everything you see on television, he is that nice in person, and he's a genuine dude. And he went out of his way to like mention my name and the other songwriters' names. And usually, I mean, there's whatever 60 songs on the chart right now, and a lot of times nobody will ever know who wrote those songs. But it's really cool to have somebody like just really go out of their way to make sure that like the songwriters got mentioned. Like there's a at his show, he had a billboard kind of in the back, like all over the bar. And all over his backstage and like in the crowd saying like, thank you, Ryan Hurd, Chase McGill, Zach Crowell for writing, like with the album art and stuff like that. And he, I don't know, he's just a really special guy. And I think like our genre is really lucky to have him. Go.
On the Bobby Bones Show now,
Ryan Hurd.
Yeah, I like your necklace, your chain there.
What thanks, man.
You know what? You were talking about a muse earlier. You've been my muse a bit.
For
that's
jewelry.
That's a high compliment.
Well, because how long ago, Amy, was I talking about I'd like to wear a necklace or a chain like Ryan Hurd?
Like middle of last year.
Right. I think it looks like you have one.
I do. I still, this is in your honor.
That's awesome.
I still wear it.
That's a good one, too.
Look at this.
All right, we're going to get into it now.
But you're the inspiration. You're my
cool.
inspiration.
That's a huge compliment.
Wow, you got more. You have hidden
this
necklaces.
One, I wear this one every day under my shirt.
Yeah?
It's this little, like...
crystal?
It's a crystal that I got from this lady who made Maren's engagement ring. Actually, my wedding ring, too. But I wear this one every day. And then I switch out the one on the outside of the shirt. So that's my that's my secret.
But when I first started wearing this chain, Amy gave me such crap.
I did.
Oh,
she was because it was awkward. Because Bobby's not a necklace guy, and then all of a sudden
I'm not a jewelry guy.
You start it like that though. You start wearing it on the inside, and you get like kind of used to it, and then you get a little more adventurous, and then you start wearing bracelets.
Yeah, I need to work on that Audi. Can you like find me a good Audi one to wear?
Totally. No, we can totally do this. We'll text about it.
Ryan's cool.
Because the one you're wearing on the outside today? It's like turquoise beads, but what's the thing?
It's like a little Buddha hand. It's okay. Cool. I don't know. I don't know. I have like the same hand with like a, I don't know. I honestly don't even know what
it
is.
It just looks cool.
To be
hey,
honest.
Man.
It does look
whatever
cool.
Whatever works.
It just looks
fine.
I just enjoy how it looks. So.
You good otherwise? Like everything good? You about to crank into this year? You
yeah.
got a plan?
I think... I'm really happy right now. I don't really know what else to... There's not a lot of stuff in my life that I would get rid of at the moment, so that's a good way to start the new year.
Yeah, that's a good way. You got to put out this new song.
But.
Just in case you want to change your mind.
It's called Michigan for the Winter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where you can find me, 46th Street, that first right turn down a dirt road, watching that wood stove burn. I'm either waiting at your memory or for you to never comes first until it don't hurt no more. I'll be up north, going to Michigan for the winter.
Hey, you're from Michigan.
Yeah.
Ryan's a big hockey guy. I grew up in Arkansas. I don't know anything about hockey. So Ryan and I would be at hockey games. We go to like a Preds game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd be like, dude, walk me through this.
I grew up around it. I wish I played because you have to start when you're like 7 or 8 years old. And so I grew up playing baseball and stuff that like my dad grew up playing. But Yeah, this song, I wrote this song, took like 3 or 4 months to write. I wrote it with like my friend Aaron, who's from Michigan too, and we started it, and then took like 3 or 4 times getting back to write it, and I ended up finishing it like in the shower one day. I was just like taking a shower, and I was like, I got it. So I wish, I don't know, this is one that I feel like I should have put out a long time ago, just because I don't, it's just, this is kind of like the most me song I've ever really put out. It's this like kind of the best example of what I do as a songwriter. So I don't know, really just thankful that I got to put it out.
I was looking at your Twitter. Apparently there's a scientist named Ryan Hurd.
Oh my gosh.
I'm so jealous that you have your name as a handle, because some dude named Bobby Bones, he doesn't even use it. It blocks people. It's Bobby Bones, and I have Mr. Bobby Bones, and you have Ryan Hurd, but this guy's actually kind of famous.
So, all right, when I started using Twitter, I was at Hurd Jams with a Z. And
Wow. Good thing you got away from that. Holy cow.
My friends still call me that.
Hurd Jams.
Yeah. And because I was just joking around. I was just a writer and didn't have a public anything. And so, but this guy, he's a dream scientist, and his name is Ryan Hurd, and he got so sick of people like reaching out to him thinking that he was me.
Yeah.
That like when I ended up getting in touch with him being like, hey man, what would it take? He was like, thank you so much. So I had, you know, had to.
Did you pay him?
Oh, yeah.
They tried to buy Bobby Bones for yeah. my birthday, and the guy wouldn't sell it.
Yeah, he was like 18. He wasn't giving it up. And I'm like,
he's 18.
You're a kid. He was. This was like 10 years ago.
He should give it up for like $20 if he's 18.
Yeah.
It was.
Did you see what the scientist changed his handle to?
No.
Science Jams with a J, yeah. with a Z. Yeah.
Dreams.
Yeah.
No, he's actually a very interesting dude. It's wild what he does. He's actually the top of his field. So.
Yeah. So now you like are friends with him or?
We're friendly.
Do you ever text him?
No.
Do you ask him about your dreams?
No, but he was like very thankful to get out of at Ryan Hurd.
So. Well, Ryan Hurd is here with us. Man, look at you. This is your year, man.
Thank you. It's kind of fun too, because you've played so many of my songs, and now like we're getting to run with To a T, and that was one you really got behind. So finally, one that you've supported is going to get to the radio across
the country. To me, it's not even
about
that. To me, it's not about what gets played. I just like find good songs and play them.
Well, that's why people love your show, and I think it's, I don't know, I've always been really thankful for the support you've thrown my way, and even before I had anything going, and like to finally have one that's like, all right, everything's behind this one, and you know, it makes me thankful for what you've done, and also like thankful that we get to run with this song for the year.
Well, my friend, I'm very happy to see you.
Too.
I'm glad to see that you're getting like good support now. Like your team's going, not just your team, but like the team, the label team, the record team's going. We got one here.
Man, they've been super supportive, and I'm really pumped to get to do everything I get to do with Sony Music.
At Ryan Hurd, RyanHurd. If you happen to follow his old handle, Hurd Jams, you need to change and go over to the new one. All right, good to see you, bud.
See you later.
There he is, Ryan Hurd.
The Bobby Bones Show.
So Lunchbox has a 6-month-old baby, and your wife wants to have a birthday party for it?
Yeah, she wants to have a half-birthday party. She said, and I thought this was the most ridiculous thing ever. She goes, no, all new parents with newborns, they throw a 6-month birthday party to celebrate. Hmm.
Like a real party where you have to spend money and people come over?
Yeah, like she wants to invite people over, have a cake, have balloons, have decorations. And I think that is the most absurd thing I've ever heard in my life.
What did you tell her when she suggested it?
I said, oh, that's funny. She goes, no, everybody does. I said, you are ridiculous. I said, I will take it to the show and they can decide if there's a half month or half year birthday party or not. Because I don't want to look like the fool like, hey guys, come to my kid's half birthday. Like, when did you ever celebrate a half birthday?
Okay, so do we get to make the judgment?
Cool.
If we vote on it?
Well, no.
I don't want to rule and...
No, don't say
you
anything.
You said you were going to bring it to
you
the
said
show.
Bring
yeah,
the
but,
show.
I, but you guys...
We can do a 5-person vote.
But I have a... No, because you guys are going to do this out of spite.
No, we won't. We won't. I promise you we won't.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
No, I did. That's why Bobby said...
No, I won't do it out of spite. I promise you I feel the same way regardless if you allow it or not. But let us decide.
Hold on. Oh, man, I don't know if I should do that.
And whatever we say, you have to do.
No. Okay. All right. But you can't do... No. You got to promise you're not going to do it out of spite. Eddie?
Promise.
I promise.
Amy?
So it's going to be Amy...
She's not promising.
Amy, me, Eddie, Morgan number 2, our digital, and Raymundo. You guys will all be the votes, okay?
Because that means you guys all have to buy half birthday presents.
You go to party all the time, don't bring presents.
I'm just telling you.
Okay, are you ready? Amy, you go first. Should he have the half birthday party?
I have never in my life ever heard of a half birthday party. That's just so crazy to me. Like, why would you? The stress of throwing a party once a year is a lot, so you add another one into the mix. But I mean, I do think it's kind of cute and special, so yeah.
Oh, wow. One vote.
Wait, you just said
one
no,
vote
see,
for yes. Wow. One vote for yes. Let's go to producer Eddie.
Look, I have two kids. I've never heard of this either. I don't Thank believe you. In it. I'm with Lunchbox on this. What a waste of money. Like, the kid's not going to remember. He's 6 months old. Don't do it.
No.
Woo!
Wow, okay. Let's go to Raymundo. Raymundo, Lunchbox is a six-month-old baby. Should he have a half birthday?
I'm going to go with the times I've gone to the card stores, and there isn't a six-month card. So I have nothing to bring. It doesn't make sense. We're forcing something. No six-month
wow.
birthday party.
Let's check the tally board here. Two votes for no, one vote for yes. Okay, I'll go.
There you go.
So I think that you have entered into a union with your wife.
Yeah.
And marriage, it seems really cool. I've never been married.
Yeah, it's cool.
Sometimes.
But it seems like you should always look out for each other. And what's important to her should be important to you. And it's not like you have to do this every half year. It's just the first half year birthday. And if she really wants to do it, if it means that much to her, why would you not do it? She's so excited to have a new baby. She obviously loves the crap out of it. Why won't you let her love it?
No, you can love it.
No.
I love it.
I vote...
Oh
half
my
birthday?
This is ridiculous.
Yes.
Woo!
Yes.
Yeah.
So now we have one left. We're going to go to Morgan number two.
The tiebreaker.
Who is our head of digital. She is 25 years old. Morgan number two, how do you feel about the half birthday party?
All right. I definitely think that you should not do it.
Yeah!
Wow.
So smart.
Don't think everybody else needs to be brought into the mix, but maybe he should take her out to dinner as like a compromise.
You vote no?
Yeah.
Yes.
I like it. I'm with her. I mean, that's going to make the first year birthday party way more
but
special.
Could you imagine if every 6 months Lunchbox had a birthday party for his kid?
I mean, that would be so annoying.
That would be so awesome.
But you don't have to do it. It's just one time because he's only 6 months old one time.
But Bobby, when the baby is 1 year and 6 months and 2 years and 6 months.
And what are you going to do, break the candle in half if he blows
oh
out?
My
like...
goodness. So the answer is, Lunchbox, you're in the clear.
Ah, yes. You got, thank you, guys.
You can go over to our Facebook page and...
Y'all are no fun.
You're
That's
no
all I have
fun.
To say. Y'all are 0%
no fun.
Ray's like, they don't make half-month birthday cards.
It's true.
Or half-year.
Find me one.
But they make just happy birthday. They don't put numbers on every birthday card. They just say happy birthday.
I mean...
Okay, Lunchbox, you don't have to have a birthday party. There you go. You're in the clear. There it is. And there's your update.
It's time for the good news.
With Amy.
Tell me something good.
Man, it's been a rough time for this 8-year-old named Perrin Miller. He's from Wilmington, North Carolina, and his family, they were visiting relatives in Utah for the holidays when he started getting headaches. Again, he's only 8 years old, but they took him to the ER, and they discovered he had a brain tumor.
Oh, wow.
So he had to have surgery right there in Utah. They just went into action right there, and he's been missing his dog, Frank, because he's been recovering the last several weeks. And kind of the story started to get in the news and people in Wilmington started finding out. And there's this former truck driver named Bob Reynolds. Doesn't even know the Millers. He decided to pick up Frank, their dog, and drive 2,300 miles in 52 hours to deliver Frank the dog to the family. And then he said, once y'all are recovered in Utah and you're ready to go back home, if you're flying, you need me to drive the dog, I'll come back, pick the dog up, drive him back home.
That's pretty cool.
It gives me, like, I have goosebumps.
Yeah, me too. Like a little bit.
And I
want to
say his name again. Former trucker, Bob Reynolds. Because you're the man.
That's a good one. That's what it's all about right there.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Bobby Bone Show. The latest from Nashville and Hollywood. Morgan number two's 30 Second Skinny.
Keith Urban is performing at Loretta Lynn's birthday tribute in Nashville, and her only wish is to have Keith Urban jump out of a birthday cake, and Keith responded with, "Your wish is my command."
You know, if we get to ask, I'll also have Keith Urban jump out of my birthday cake. That'd be nice, huh?
Yeah, I don't know if you're up there with Loretta Lynn, but maybe.
All right. What else, Morgan number two?
John Party is headed out on tour with Dierks Bentley, and he says the one thing he won't do on tour is one of those ice baths with Dierks.
Yeah, Dierks takes these ice baths on the road with him, and he gets in them all the time. I can't do an ice bath either. I don't like cold, And I don't know if you women have this problem with your woman parts, but I can't submerge mine in cold water.
Okay.
Do you?
I mean, I've done an ice bath before.
Do you guys have an issue with that or no?
No, I mean, an ice bath is... No. Sometimes you
need
it.
I think it hurts all parts
yes,
of your body.
It hurts
no,
everything.
Like from your
it
toes
doesn't.
To your
my
wherever.
Feet and my calves, it's all uncomfortable. But when it's... I mean, I can't even do a hot bath
okay,
with that. Cause
so
it's like,
you're sensitive.
Yeah, I'm very... My sensitives are very sensitive. I'm yeah. just saying. All right, what else?
Trisha Yearwood is putting out another album this year aside from the album of Frank Sinatra covers. She has a country album that's almost finished and will be out fall of this year.
All right, awesome.
I'm Morgan number two. That's your skinny.
Folks, it's your buddy and mine.
Mr. Bobby Bones.
Let's go. Transmitting across America.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
That's right.
Now, here he is.
Turn it up.
Come on, Bobby.
Got a few things to talk about this hour. One, Sharna and I got our mirror ball tattoos. We'll talk about that. And also, we'll get into, you know, some of the stuff from the Million Dollar Show we didn't get into yesterday, including there was a story People Magazine wrote about my ex-girlfriend and I. Did you see the story at all?
No, I haven't.
Okay, I'll bring that up, too.
That's so interesting.
It was interesting. I'll just wait for a second. Okay, we'll come back to it. Over now to Amy with the joke. Here we go.
The morning corny.
What do you call a fancy sea creature?
What do you call a fancy sea creature?
Sophisticated.
Okay, I can do that. I can do a little wordplay there. I can do that. Okay. All right, thank you, Amy.
That was the morning corny.
Last night was my final night on the Dancing with the Stars live tour, and they make us book under aliases into the hotels. So they don't want people coming to the hotel and going, hey, I'm looking for, you know, Gleb or right. Bobby Bones. And so you get to pick your aliases, and now that the show's over, I'll tell you mine. Do you want to know mine?
Yes,
no?
Of course. Because okay. You're never going to use it again, right?
No, never. Okay. I feel ridiculous doing it to begin with, but they made us all, and I will share mine.
Bobby Bones, come on.
Last night was my swan song of dancing because I went on Dancing with the Stars, crazily, won that show, and I went out and done some tour dates, or I did some tour dates with them. And so I've been on tour with them for like five, six, seven shows, I'm not sure. I don't even like dancing anymore. Like at the club, I like dancing, went to the bar, I could shake it a little bit. I have a little confidence in that. I just don't like doing all the steps and stuff because I'm with pro dancers too. So last night was fun because I knew that even if I did really bad... Hey, who cares? Then we're going to do it again.
It's your last one. Yeah.
It's my last one. And it
have
was
fun.
In New York City at Radio City Music Hall. And I forgot that they put me under an alias at the hotel. They make us all go under aliases so people don't find out where the hotel is or they don't find our rooms. And after the show, which was like 11:30 or midnight last night, I go to the hotel to check in and they don't have my name. They don't have Bobby Bones. They don't have my real name. They don't have anything. And I'm like, oh my goodness, it's midnight and I can't get in this hotel. And so I'm calling around and I call someone at the show and they're like, it's under your alias. And I was like, oh, right. Like 45 minutes, I couldn't get in this hotel. And so I checked under my alias and got up to my room, no problem, was completely booked. It's so weird they can book you under a fake name with all the security things we have in place.
Right, because you have to show an ID,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So I showed them my ID.
But you're...
And then it was under a fake name.
Okay, I don't know how they did that.
They let us pick our fake names before the tour even starts. And so if anybody gets my fake name right, I'll give you $10. Let's go over to our video producer, Eddie. Eddie, go ahead.
What was your hint?
Someone from history.
Yeah, I got it. Andrew Jackson from Tennessee. You live in Tennessee. President Andrew Jackson.
Andrew Jackson.
Come on, Bones.
Incorrect.
Oh.
Sorry. There you go. Let's go over to Lunchbox.
Okay, I got two people it could be, and these are super famous people. One is Dalai Lama.
What?
Dalai Lama. Incorrect.
Okay. The next one.
Wait, he gets two?
Yeah.
They're only worth $5 each, though. Go ahead.
That's fine. I'll take the $5 for Muhammad Gandhi.
What are you?
What?
That's not a person.
Name. That's not his name.
It's Mahatma Gandhi.
Oh. So, Mahatma Gandhi.
No, oh no, not Gandhi.
Gumby.
Mahudi Gagumbi.
Well, whatever his name is, that's who my guess is.
Mahatma and the Blowfish.
Because you guys taught me that he was real. I thought he was just that green guy.
No,
that's Gumby.
I know, but This guy's real, guys.
No, those are both wrong. Amy, go ahead.
Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln. Oh, quality guess, but not right. So, no.
How is hers quality and mine not?
Well, Abe Lincoln, solid guess.
Mm-hmm.
Strong president. One of our greatest. I do love him. Read books on him. No, my name under the hotel is Amerigo Vespucci.
Who's that?
Oh, my gosh.
Is he an explorer?
Yeah, really one of the most undercredited of all time. I'm like, fascinated with him. Because let me tell you guys, Christopher Columbus didn't discover crap. He didn't discover America. Christopher Columbus only ever landed in Haiti. He never came to the mainland. Huh. And when we had to invent a backstory of our history, as early as we could remember, we just went, Christopher Columbus discovered the New World. He never came to America. You know who did? Amerigo Vespucci. That's who America's named after.
What a fraud. No.
So why do we celebrate Columbus?
Was the worst. By the way, we should stop celebrating Columbus Day. The worst human. Like, enslaved people. It was a whole ordeal. He's a bad dude.
Bones, you sure about all this?
Yeah.
Whoa.
So why do we have Columbus Day if he didn't discover America? That makes no sense.
Well, you should actually say, why do we say in the year of 1492 did Columbus sail the ocean blue and come to discover America?
He did sail an ocean blue.
Right.
But again, he landed in what they think is Haiti, at least the Bahamas. So anyway, my alias has been Amerigo Vespucci for the past month and a half. There it is. So they're like, what's your name, sir? Oh, Vespucci?
They're like, no chance. This is America.
They're like, you're very pale for a Vespucci. It's like sometimes I'll have Uber Eats, like Mike D and I'll be on the road. And Mike D is Hispanic and I'm super white. And I'll order, or Mike D will order under his name and I'll walk out and pick it up. And his last name is, it's Rodriguez. And here I come out like as Caucasian as can be. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I got to order for Rodriguez.
And they're like, mm-hmm.
And they're like, they like look at their phone. Okay, Mr. Caucasian. So anyway, that's my name, Amerigo Vespucci on the road, has been. Oh. And now we got a history lesson too, right?
Nice, yeah. Thank you for that.
Do you guys feel good about that or no?
Yeah.
Feel smart.
Bobby Bones.
Yeah.
So Sharna came to town, my dance partner from Dancing with the Stars, and we got our tattoos. We said if we won, we would get mirror ball tattoos. And so I had a few options for her. I let her kind of pick which one we did. It was either the outline of the mirror ball, it was a total blacked out mirror ball, or it was just the word mirror ball, and we kind of switch it up on everybody. And the blacked out mirror ball kind of looked like when you drive into a town and they have a water tower. And so we didn't do that.
Yeah, I can see that.
And then the other one, the outline I thought was fine, but she wanted to go with the words, which I kind of like that idea too. And we both put it on the back of our arm, and I put it on my arm with all my tattoos anyway. But yeah, we have our tattoos. Here's a clip of the video that's up on my Instagram story right now.
All right, we're in a tattoo shop right
now. Yes, we are.
And we're going to get our mirror ball tattoos.
Yes, we are.
Are you going to go first or am I?
I think you should go first.
Well, then you can back out if you don't like what happened.
I won't back out. I promise you I will not back out.
We're going to start now. Here we go.
That's pretty tough, though. I got it.
That's awesome.
Didn't cry that much. And it's not super big or anything, but it will fall off my Instagram story in the next 4 hours, I think. And so if you want to see it, my Instagram name is Mr. Bobby Bones. But yeah, we got him. I felt like more than anything, and so did she, that we just owed it to our listeners because we said we were going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So we did it. Do you see the video?
Yeah. Looks good.
Yeah, thanks to Adam the kid. Because we went in on a Monday, he wasn't working, and he's like, yeah, got it.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, it was good. So everybody's been asking. Now I still owe a microphone tattoo from the Radio Hall of Fame.
Yeah. And apparently I still owe your face.
That's right, because when I went to Haiti, you said you were going to get my face tattooed on you.
That's not exactly how it went down.
Yeah, you said if I went to Haiti to the orphanage where your kids were, that you would get my face tattooed on you, right,
fellas? If you ever went to Haiti...
Yeah, that's how I remember it.
That's true, that's exactly
right. Like, I thought we would go together,
and
you
tricked
me.
No, all you said was, if I went, that's all you said.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. A study found that having a work spouse, like a platonic partner in the workplace, can be good for your career and can be good for your overall happiness at work. Would you say, Amy, that I am your work spouse?
Yes.
Is that uncomfortable for you to say?
No. Okay, is it uncomfortable for you?
Nah, but I don't have
would
another spouse.
Would you say
spouse.
I am?
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes I just say you're my normal spouse, too.
Okay,
yeah,
that's getting weird.
They're like, for insurance purposes only, though. It's basically making someone at work your best friend, right? A survey found that most business professionals say they currently have a work spouse or have had one in the past. Eduardo, our video guy, do you have a work spouse?
I mean, not really. Maybe you, but yeah. I already have a spouse. I don't need two of them. That gets complicated.
But it's a work spouse. That's right. I think Eddie's also my... Man, I got so many wives. I'm balling over here.
You are?
Yeah. I'm like a work polygamist, huh? Crazy. Lunchbox, do you have a work spouse?
No.
A work spouse is able to cover for you. They also know you so well they can help with your home issues if they need to. And they're always going battle for you at the water cooler when you're not around. Listen, Amy always has my back. I don't know about Eddie all the time, but I know that if there's something and Amy's not around and I'm not around, like Amy will stab somebody for me.
Okay.
Yeah. And the same. I'll do the same for you.
Yeah, but we also have our... We're not just like always. Like, we also have our frustrations with each other, too. Like,
that's
it's
what
not,
marriage is like, Amy. Come on, get with the program.
This relationship is not perfect. Like, I'll roll my eyes a lot, and I'll get annoyed a lot, but it's fun.
One of the biggest fights that Sharna and I... About rolling eyes that Sharna and I had during Dancing with the Stars, because they didn't put any of our fights on camera during the season, was she got so mad at me once because I rolled my eyes at her.
Mm.
And I get it. Rolling your eyes really, it irritates the crap out of me. It's the worst emoji. When Amy sends me an eye roll emoji, I want to just strangle my phone. And so we were training in Austin, and she got so mad she left the room. She's like, you can't roll your eyes at me. And I was like, what? I don't even roll my eyes in normal life.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think I've ever seen you roll your eyes. So
I
must have been really irritated.
No, this is what happened. This is communication problems that happened because... In marriages, this stuff happens, and I think she was a bit of my work spouse for a few months. But I was getting so motion sick because I was doing so many spins that I was losing my balance, and my eyes were like, whoa.
Oh, so you weren't even rolling your eyes?
No,
you just had, like, vertigo?
That's
yes.
funny.
And she thought I was rolling my eyes, and she got so... We were both exhausted, too, right? It was like the season was almost over. I'd been traveling, doing stand-up. I was in Austin. We had to go to Nashville, then back to California. We were both just so whooped. And I rolled my eyes, and she was like, I can't do this. I'm out. And I was like, I don't know if I roll my eyes. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, you don't. You're not an eye roller. I am. And it's really bad because my daughter is. And I get so irritated when she rolls her eyes at me. But then I'm like, ugh, I guess I can't really get that mad because she's getting it for me. And then now my son says, duh, all the time. He always is. I'll say something. He'll be like, duh. And I'm like, you really need to not do that. He said, Mom, I got it from you.
That's what he says?
Yes.
That's funny.
And I was like, oh, shoot, I do say duh. Ugh. So, got to work on that.
Your daughter does roll her eyes so big.
Oh, it's a problem.
It's like a rainbow. That big eye roll. It's like up, down.
Yeah. No, I mean, and she gets in trouble for it, but I have to work on it myself. But she doesn't get in trouble just for the eye roll. It's the eye roll. It also with the... And the just other disrespectful things. So it's a combo. Bobby Bone, come
on. Valentine's Day is just around the corner. Wow, less than a month. By the way, let me throw this at you. If you're listening to me right now and you're a dude, call a restaurant now and get your reservation because you're going to wait till February 12th and everything's going to be booked unless it's 3 p.m. or 11 p.m. So right now, your buddy Bobby is telling you to call a restaurant, whichever one you want to go for Valentine's Day, and make your reservation now. This is not a commercial. I don't care where you call. But it's going to happen. You're going to go, oh, what do we do? And you can't get anywhere. So there you go. A little PSA for you. You might be looking for something special to give that ex that still lingers in your mind. All for the low price of $2, you can name a cockroach after your ex.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Actually, a pretty good idea. It's all thanks to a conservation center, and the money goes to all the zoo programs. Oh. So it's very generous, but it's also vindictive. So... If you got a beef with your ex, you can name a cockroach after them in their honor for $2.
Yeah.
Did you ever have an ex that you absolutely hated?
Yeah, in high school.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
This People magazine story, because they came out to the Raging Idiots, which is Eddie and my band. We did this big show two nights ago, and a lot of artists came by. Luke Bryan played with us. Lady Antebellum played with us. Cole Swindell. John Party. It was this major event. And we had a bunch of people stop by and surprise us. One of them was Sharna, my dance partner. Christian Bush from Sugarland. Gavin DeGraw showed up and played. Also, I brought out Lindsay L., who is my ex-girlfriend. And she played this song, which was written about me, right? We're not together anymore. We haven't been for a while.
Right.
And they wrote this whole thing about it, and it says, the night was a three-hour phantasmic display of music. A surprise guest of the evening was Lindsay L., who Bones dated for about a year. Her appearance apparently was a surprise to L., who emerged from a backstage when he dared the crowd, do you want to see something awkward? Do you want me to bring out my ex-girlfriend? I did do that. And then she walked out. I'm like, is this awkward? And I said, and I did a whole thing. I'm like, hey, how's your mom? How's you still from Canada? It was a whole thing.
Are you still?
Good. Yeah. But it was good, you know?
Yeah.
And she's a great artist, and we're friends now. But I think people, and then she would stop playing a song, and people would start screaming, you messed up, Bones.
Oh, really?
Oh, my gosh. So it turned into a whole thing. But it's good. Like, she's good. And we're good. So, and also, people always really wonder, like, do you guys still really get along? I thought bringing her out of the show would be good.
Yeah, that shows.
A man threatens to kill someone with kindness and then stabs him with a knife that says kindness on it. A guy in Florida threatened a neighbor last week when he was going to, quote, kill him with kindness, and then he grabbed a knife with the word kindness written on the blade. He was arrested for aggravated assault and battery.
Dang.
He threatened, I'm going to kill you with kindness. And then he went and got his knife named Kindness. The neighbor's going to be okay.
Thank goodness.
But again, the guy was arrested. That's funny you have a knife named Kindness, huh? We're going to go over to Morgan number two with what 25-year-olds care about. Now, here we go. What do 25-year-olds
care about? There's a new pillow out there, and it's called the Ostrich Pillow. It looks super funky, but it's meant for an on-the-go sleeper. It has a hole for your nose and mouth to breathe out, but then it has covers over your eyes and on your neck, and there are like two open holes on the side for you to put your hands in if you want to lay your head on the table.
Oh. Wait, so where do you put your mouth?
It has a hole for like your mouth and your nose to breathe, but
oh, you put it all the
like
way
this.
Over your head.
Yes. Yeah.
So you take this pillow, it's like a ski mask, but it's a humongous pillow. So you pull it down over your head, and much like the ski mask where you would breathe through that little hole, there's a hole, but the pillow is like a big mushroom on your head.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I've been watching Schitt's Creek, and the mom has one of those.
What? One of the pillows over the head?
Yes! Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's so crazy. When she had it on, I was like, that looks really, really comfortable. Like, you could block out everything. It doesn't matter which way your head goes because you've got a pillow. It just like,
By the way, that's spelled S-C-H-I-T-T.
Okay, it's thank last you,
name. Yes, there's a reason I never said the name of that show on the air, even while talking about it.
I thought you would. Sorry.
No,
that's not a bad word. I don't cuss.
No, not when you have to explain it.
Oh, okay.
Because it sounds like something else. Yes.
Oh.
If someone doesn't know what that show is, Amy, a lot of people don't.
Oh, okay. I'm new to it. I'm brand new. That's why I guess I got excited because I just saw an episode with her wearing that. Oh, yeah. No, I wasn't saying the bad word.
S-C-H-I-T-T. It's their last name.
S.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Creek.
Thanks for clarifying, Bone.
Y'all didn't know
like,
that?
No, Amy, most people don't watch that show. Some people do. Okay. And it just sounds like you're saying a bad word.
And I've heard that expression before.
Of course. That's why the show's named that.
Right. Oh, I've never heard that expression. Oh.
Yeah, like going up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway. Okay.
It's time for the good news.
With Lunchbox.
Tell me something good.
Out in Albuquerque, New Mexico, you know, firefighters, they work 48 hours on and then 24 off. They're away from home a lot, and they like to cook home-cooked meals. They don't have grills. So there's an appliance company in Albuquerque that went around to fire stations and donated brand-new grills to the fire stations so they could feel like home and they could grill up some burgers and have a good old atmosphere at the firehouse.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's a good one. What I've started to like a lot more on this show is when we find stories that aren't so much about people giving $10 million to something, because that's not a normal thing. But stories where people go out and just help people with time or 80 cents or $17, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, I think
a story like this could trigger in someone listening that maybe they're looking to give away a grill, and now maybe they'll look at their local fire department and be like, hey guys, you want our grill?
Yeah, and I need to give a shout out to Baylo's Appliances. They're the ones that were the ones giving the grills away, so shout out to them.
That's great. All right, thank you, Lunchbox.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Folks, it's your buddy and mine,
Mr. Bobby Bones.
Let's go. Transmitting across America.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
That's right. Now, here he is.
Turn it up.
So I do a show from my house called The Bobby Cast, and you can find it wherever you listen to your podcasts. It's iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to podcasts, search one word, Bobby Cast. But I'm going to tell you, there is one person in particular, when he comes to the house and sits down, it is always gold. And sometimes we get along, and sometimes we don't on air, because we're actually pretty good friends. But it's Jake Owen, man. That guy brings it when it's time to bring it to a show. Have you listened to the new BobbyCast?
I haven't yet.
So, he just talks about whatever. And so here's Jake Owen. first we talked about him getting married. He says he's not in a rush to get married right now, but he thinks that Erica is the one.
Dude, I think marriage is unbelievable. I think it's an unbelievable partnership when you find that person that's supposed to be that way. And I really believe that Erica is that person. I'm sure in some point in the future we're going to get married. But right now I'm just not in a rush to do it. Like, I have everything in my life I've worked hard for to plan out, and I had a little bump in the road, which is part of life, a few years back. But I had the greatest gift come from it with my little girl. Me not marrying her has nothing to do right now with me not loving her or feeling fulfilled. I don't know. I feel like we're a different place in the world where, I don't know, marriage is an interesting thing, man.
He's been married before, and he's having another baby, and he's talking about the baby, and he goes, I couldn't let anybody know because it was so early. And so he had to let someone know. Here is him letting a random person, letting him know that he's going to have a baby.
And she told me the day before, and I was so excited. I wanted to tell someone, but I couldn't tell anyone. But I realized, but I could tell someone that didn't know me. There was this lady standing behind us in the line. And she kind of looks like, how are you today? And like, my answer to her was, I'm awesome. My girlfriend's pregnant. We just found out. And Eric was like, what are you doing? How come you're telling her? She's like, oh my gosh. I said, you're the only person that knows. Like, and she's like, what? I go, how does that feel? You're the only person that knows about this child we're about to have. And the lady didn't know who I was or anything, but she's like, wow, I feel really special. I said, you should. So that's my answer that's to how funny. I let people know.
So it's the Jake Owen Bobby cast. It's over an hour long. It's so good. Like, this dude is so good when he comes on the show. You know, and I think also we kind of sit into a place where we're such good friends that you kind of forget there are microphones in front of you. Here is Jake Owen, and this is news right here. This is crazy. He's going to be in a movie that starts filming next month. It has Casey Affleck in it. It's like a real movie.
Oh, wow.
It hasn't been announced yet. Here is Jake talking about that.
I'm about to be in a movie, though. So it's got Casey Affleck's in the movie, Dakota Johnson. I think the title is The Best Friend.
And you're acting.
Yeah.
With lines.
Yeah.
When do you start shooting?
Next month.
Look at that.
Yeah, in Fairhope, Alabama.
How long do you shoot?
For, I think, a month.
Really?
Yeah.
Look at you.
And I've never acted before, and I've never done that. And I kind of want to be pushed. I want to see if I can do it.
That's pretty cool.
I could fall. I could be terrible. I could, you know, but I'm going to do it.
Breaking news. Jake Owen will be in a movie called The Best Friend. Here's one more clip. We kind of get on. First of all, we talk about him for a lot, and he always loves to talk about me. And he talks about how I'm not as weird as I used to be. Here you go.
Has all this fame and when Dancing with the Stars made you weirder? Because that's where we were last time. I said you were weird.
I don't feel there's a fame element.
I actually feel like it's taken some of the weirdness away from you. Because you can't dodge it now. Like, you're in so many different spotlights, and people are wanting, you can't be as weird as you used to be.
I don't understand what that means, weird, though.
You have so much extracurricular things happening that I find, at least for my life personally, for me to be happy, I have to have outlets. Things that are hobbies of mine that I love to do. And if someone said to me, like, hey, man, what do you think Bobby's hobbies are? But honestly, I would say you're one of those guys, like a couple other friends of mine that are very successful. I don't know what they do outside of work.
So listen to the whole podcast. It's fantastic. Love that guy. Jake Owen, just search for the Bobby Cast, episode 151. Amy, any thoughts on that?
Well, what? Yeah, now I'm wondering. I'm trying to think of what you do outside of work. But you
practice,
box?
I practice work. Well, even boxing, like, I've turned that into work now. Because I have a couple gyms.
Wow,
like boxing gyms.
You just can't help yourself.
I love what I do. Why can that not be a hobby? Like, I'm lucky enough to love what I do.
Yeah.
Eventually, I'll get a girlfriend and I'll have to do things like knit. I don't know. I'll have to sit around and knit.
Okay. That's
and watch This Is Us. Mm-hmm. You know? So, yeah. Anyway, there's that Jake Owen. Episode 151 is fantastic.
It sounds like sometimes he's turned the interview on you.
Completely.
Yeah.
Completely.
Okay.
The whole time.
I can't wait to listen.
I just want to play a bunch of clips about me because who cares?
Yeah.
I'll talk about me for 4 hours.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Two nights ago, we had the Raging Idiots. That's my band. Our $1 million show at the Ryman. It was our fourth one. A lot of great artists stopped by to play with my band. Luke Bryan, Lady A, Cole Swindell, John Party, Maggie Rose. I mean, there were like three doors down, which, by the way, was one of the coolest things. We sang Kryptonite. I sang it as loud as I could, and I didn't ruin it. It was amazing. Like, and then Brad of Three Doors Down gave us $10,000 for St. Jude. It was an amazing
That's
night.
Amazing.
And at the end, I told Eddie and a couple of other people that were still at the show, because it was a three-hour show, and some of the early artists that went home, I said, hey, at the end, after Luke Bryan's done, let's just all go back out and let's sing Stand By Me with the crowd. Because everybody knows the words. I wanted to just sing along at the end. And I said, I'll just start it. So we go out, and then everybody comes walking back out. Luke's out there. Gavin DeGraw's out there. Cole Swindell's out. The stage is covered with every artist. It's like We Are the World, but for St. Jude.
Oh, that's cool.
And so I'll play you like a minute or so of the clip, because you kind of hear everybody sing. We start singing as a group, and then you hear Gavin come in. You hear Luke come in and take solos. So here is Stand By Me. I don't know what the audio sounds like on the radio. If it's real bad, I'll stop it. But here you go. This is from the Ryman Auditorium. No, I won't be afraid. That's me. No, I won't. And everybody's walking out now. Just as long as you stand, stand by me. Now you're going to hear Gavin DeGraw just take the microphone and just crush it coming up. Here's Luke Bryan right here. Maggie Rose. Anyway, it was this really special moment where every artist was up on the stage. Sharna was on the stage. Some of the kids that are patients at St. Jude were on the stage. This is really cool. It's a great moment. We have the whole video we'll put up at bobbybones.com if you want to see it. So, yeah, it was great. I appreciate everybody who came and who works with us with St. Jude. It was just a fantastic night. We touched on it a little bit yesterday, but I finally had that audio. I wanted to play that for you. So, yeah,
goosebumps.
There you go. Yeah, it was good. Luke, we're playing, and Luke came out, and he said he was going to do Most People Are Good, and then he was going to do That's What Makes You Country. We're playing that, and he goes, Bobby, let's play it off the mic. He goes, let's play another song. I was like, okay, what are you going to play? And he goes, let's do a cover. And I said, all right. I said, we'll just follow you. My band's really good. And he starts doing Sweet Caroline. You know, his wife, obviously, that's her name.
Yeah.
Right? But he starts playing Sweet Caroline, and the whole crowd are just screaming their face off the song. So it was good. I don't have anything else to say. Any questions about it? You didn't come. Why didn't you come?
I had kids' issues, I guess you would say.
Yeah, what happened? They get something bad?
I mean, a little bit. There's just some stuff. Some nights we struggle, and it was one of those nights, and I just didn't feel comfortable leaving.
You could have came and sang on stage, and everything would have been better.
I know.
Because Stand By Me makes everything better, Amy.
Yeah, no.
You just didn't know.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to come back in a second. What do you want to do next? I have a couple things we can do. We just talked about your kids. I don't know if you want to talk about when you had to threaten them with taking something away, and then you had to do it. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of part of some of the... Well,
it is?
No, I think this was the morning after. Kind of like we're still lingering with some stuff. But yeah, we can talk about it.
I just went on the Elvis Duran show for like 10 minutes.
How was that?
During a commercial, I ran over there real quick, and then... Well, it was good. They're so nice.
I know.
I mean, they're like our best friends. And then I did Dancing with the Stars live last night. I'm in New York doing the show right now. And so... Danielle from Elvis Duran came to the show last night.
Oh, she did? So fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, don't leave. I don't know the rules of those shows. I know when I do shows, I just jump into the crowd and go meet everybody, or go after the show, meet everybody. So during the Dancing with the Stars show, after the show, I just jumped in the crowd. I went and talked to Danielle, and security jumped all over me. They were like, well, you do not jump in the crowd if you're one of the
dancers.
Stars, actors. I was like, I'm a dude. Like, I'm just a...
No,
you see me dance?
You won the mirror ball.
Yeah, but still. Well, anyway, I jumped down, talked to her for a bit. I ran over and did their show. They're super nice. And yeah, it was good. I'm done dancing. I left my dance shoes on the stage last night as a token. So I took them off and left them right in the middle of the stage.
So who took them?
I don't know. Well, no. So what I wanted to do was them to be left there forever on the stage at Radio City Music Hall.
Sure.
Because I took them off and left them there. And then like... I don't know, a minute later, someone picked them up and took them back.
They're
to put
like,
them on the...
do you know who's playing this
Yeah,
stage?
They were like, someone left their shoes here. It was like not even a deal to them. Nobody cared. So yeah, I did that. But I'm done. I don't know. If they asked me to come back for Trio Week next year on Dancing with the Stars, if I would come back.
You would.
I don't know, Amy, because I'd be in someone else's dance and I could run theirs. If it was just me, I'm okay with that, running my own. Okay. Not that I want to, but if I messed up, but... They asked me back for Trio Week. You think I would?
I really do. Yeah.
Then I have to go get those shoes I left on the stage. What are we going to do? I don't know where they are. What happened with your kids?
Oh, so, I mean, sometimes my daughter has this major attitude. Sometimes she's so bubbly and full of life and fun, and then sometimes she's just chill, and sometimes she's straight defiant. And I had to threaten going swimming, which, you know, they have an indoor pool, like either at the YMCA or our community pool is indoor. So sometimes after school, they get to go. It's like their PE, their activity. And she was so pumped. And I looked at her and I looked her straight in the eyes and I said, if you don't decide to change this attitude, swimming's gone. Like I was very, I even had a little meeting with her before it, but then I had to straight threaten her. And I said, look me in the eyes. If this stays up, pool is done. And then it stayed up. It stayed up bad. So then I had to take away the pool, which was so horrible because we were all looking forward to it. And then Stevenson's little face was like, I didn't do anything wrong.
Wait, he didn't get to go either? Like, well, like his dad didn't take him?
No, we couldn't. The schedule like wasn't going to work out. I know. It was a total bummer. This is one of those cases. The whole point of the story is sometimes as a parent, you make a threat that you really don't want to keep. Like, I did not want to keep that threat. So much of me wanted to just be like, okay, just ignore it. Just take them to the pool anyway. You'll figure it out later. But then I lose all credibility as a parent if I don't follow through. So it's just one of those moments where as a parent, you just kick yourself for ever saying it to begin with. Like, I should have never threatened the pool. I should have threatened Netflix or something, or her tablet. I don't know, but I did the pool. And then you know what? You know what she said to me?
What?
I don't like swimming anyways.
Oh.
And I was like, okay, now that's a lie, because you were so pumped to go. But it took us probably a long time to get over it. And then we went on a little daughter-mom date and got some hot cocoa and played Candyland and made up and she understood that she made a poor choice, and she admitted that she does like swimming.
Oh, well, good for her. But how come he got punished? I'm still hung up on that. He didn't get to go.
We have to figure that part out later. It's just kind of sometimes when your sibling is this is proof that, too, they know they can help encourage each other because they can nudge each other and be like, hey, get it together. You're going to ruin it for both of us.
Oh, I got an idea.
What?
Go ahead.
You should have gone to the pool with both of them, and she sits on the side while he swims. That would hit her right in the like she'd be sitting there smelling the chlorine going, ooh, I won that pool. Ooh, I won that pool. But nope, can't get in the pool. That would have showed her.
Oh, yeah. That would have been a whole other level of wrong, I feel like.
How does your husband deal with that when you have to?
Oh, he's like, he does not put up with it either. They're way more intimidated by him than me, which I feel like I'm a firm parent. Like, I tried to gain their respect, but I don't know if it's the whole alpha male, like, could be even the man thing, because even in Haiti, the director of the orphanage, he was a man, and he's the only one that could spank. Like, nannies could care for them, but they couldn't spank. The man did, and, you know, just, there's something about the presence of a man. There's something about my husband they respect. Like, my husband says, get in your bed, and they get in the bed. I have to say it like 5 times. It's annoying.
Okay. But he says few words. When he does say words.
Yeah, he says, get in your bed. And it's almost like Stevenson's like, yes, sir, whatever you say, sir, I'm in my bed. And then I say it, and he's like, Mom, you really want me to get in my bed? And I'm like, yes, get in your bed. Really?
But are you guys good now or no?
Yeah, no, we're good now. Some of the stuff with them sometimes is just really emotional highs and lows that we go through. Because they're
like
still,
back from the orphanage?
Yeah. As much as I like to think that they're totally acclimated and life is good and we seem on a good track and we go, you know, a long time without some setbacks, sometimes bigger picture, there's really just some hard days. Just as much as people see, it's almost like the Instagram reel, like the highlight reel, they see the cute little dancing bubbly guy and he really is. But you have to remember, he's 8 and he's been through a lot, and sometimes there's some real lows.
One of my friends just texted me and said, his son used to say, I like timeout.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
That's pretty funny.
I can't do timeout with my kids, though. It's not recommended because of their abandonment issues. I mean, they can do.
Really?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
So do you spend extra time with them? Like, all right, you're in trouble. It's just me and you for 12 hours.
This is torture.
Well, it's just like timeout is something that's so like seems like everything everybody does. And it happened to me and my husband as a kid. And like day 2 of us getting our kids, we put our son in timeout in his room by himself. And it was like we caused World War III. Like, it was awful. And then it kind of set in and we went back to some of our adopted training and we realized like, oh, shoot, like you can't put a child that has abandonment issues alone in their room and shut the door because they literally might be thinking, are they ever coming back for me? They might think we're never going to come back. So if you want to do, if you have children like ours, timeout kind of is, you can put them in a chair in the same room as you and they can't move that chair, but you definitely cannot leave the room. Or they feel like they don't know if you're coming back. Yeah. It's
yeah, that's crazy.
I know.
And I have abandonment issues, but not to that level.
Yeah. Theirs is just a little bit. I mean, I don't know. Everybody handles things differently and processes it all differently, but their brains are still. Because also.
So heavy.
You have to think
about all the time. All the time has to be in your head.
Oh, I'm constantly thinking. My husband and I have to rethink everything because it's just some of it's like, okay, well, this is how it was done for us. But my husband and I grew up with loving parents our whole life. Like, they grew up in an institutionalized situation where emotionally and cognitively, they're far behind. Like, they might be 8 and 11, but they're not. Like, my kids sometimes act like toddlers because they're not mature in certain ways that if they grew up in a stable environment, they would be.
So interesting.
I need to probably buy some more books.
I think we all do, though. The Bobby Bones Show. Our video producer, Eduardo, finally watched Bird Box.
Oh.
Am I late to the game or what?
Welcome.
Yeah, but you think about it, because the cool thing now is that you don't like it.
Right. I'm not going to say that. I mean, I enjoyed it. And you know what I really liked about it is that it wasn't a long series. It's one movie, you know, like that was big to me because I don't have a lot of time to binge. So I like that. And the show is good. It's a good show. I'm with Amy, though. I do need a little bit of closure that was not explained to me. And I think that's the only thing it lacks.
Guys, life doesn't give you closure.
But I heard...
This is the most annoying thing about you guys saying you want closure in movies or TV series.
What?
Is that in life you don't always get closure. How come you want your books and your TV shows to not be representative of life?
I agree with you, but this... Whatever I'm looking for, no one knows what it is, and I just want to know. Just show me, and then we'll be done.
Yeah, and I heard that there's a Bird Box, too.
Yeah, it's what I'm about to say. They also are leaving it open... to another Bird Box movie. Eddie, it's 2 hours long. It's a Netflix movie called Bird Box. Yeah. What do you rate it?
I give it a solid B.
How many birds?
I'll give it 3.5 birds.
Yeah, that's about what I would give it too. Okay. And that's fantastic for something from Netflix.
Yeah.
Because any movies they make, it's not that
good. Sandra Bullock's in it.
Yeah, and so is like the Sarah from all those other shows.
And John Malkovich.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are actually a lot of people in it.
Yeah.
Like a lot of B-star people.
And then there's
with
a boy and a girl.
That's their names, yeah. How about this? There's a company that will turn your ashes into records. Their slogan is, live from the beyond to the groove.
Oh, that's cool.
According to a new survey, 1 out of 4 people say they would love for their ashes to get pressed into a vinyl record when they die. What song would you want on your record, Amy? One song. It has your ashes in it. It plays one song.
Okay. George Strait, Amarillo by Morning.
Can you imagine listening to a record of Amy's favorite song, basically, and her ashes are on it? Yeah, emotional that would be. Yeah. Lunchbox, what would you put?
Oh, I'm Too Sexy by That Right Said Fred.
That would be your death song?
That'd be my death song.
Hmm.
What about you?
Ooh.
Go ahead.
R.E.M. Everybody hurts.
No, I don't want that one. That's like that one.
How sad would that be?
That is one of my most listened to songs.
Oh, John Mayer, Stop This Train.
Yeah, John Mayer, Stop This Train.
Oh, that was going to be your Bias of Wonderland.
No,
you guys know. I'm a huge John Mayer fan. I do not like when people...
He doesn't like the cool songs.
That's his best song.
Yeah.
No, don't say that.
Okay. Whatever. It's just too mainstream.
Don't say that's John Mayer's best song.
I mean, it's pretty fantastic.
It's not his best song.
Bubblegum tongue.
Oh, my goodness. It's so insulting right now.
Folks, it's your buddy and mine.
Mr. Bobby Bones.
Let's go.
Across America.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
That's right.
Now, here he is.
Turn it up.
Come, Bobby.
Jesse in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
You're on the show. What's up?
I wanted to know if Amy got to change her winning song. I remember you said she could change it after the first of the year.
So it's back to There She Goes right now. So it's
get to pick a new one?
Well, we'll go through the process again.
Let's go through the process again.
Where we all pick for her, then we draw randomly. What would you want it to be if you just pick one?
I think it should be Beyonce Feeling Myself.
Do I know that one?
Probably not.
No.
You're not that cool.
Shoot. I'm really not that Beyonce cool. Dang it.
What would you pick right now, Amy?
I guess I haven't thought about it in a little bit, but I liked Eddie's choice.
She still likes it.
What was it?
Movie.
No, that's not going to be a song.
But they don't say the word.
Yeah, but still, that's what it is.
Oh.
Of all the people, Amy would be the last one I would think to go profanity.
Because I hear the clean version. I don't hear, I just like the, yeah, get out the way. I just won. Move.
What do you think about that, Jesse?
I'll take it as long as she's happy.
I don't say that. I'm not.
Whatever makes Amy happy.
There's a story about these guys. They made a bet where one of them said he could spend 30 days in darkness. Like, no clock, no dark. Have you seen this?
No light?
Oh, no way.
He made a bet that they could turn off all the lights, and they got this extreme conditions. It was a high-stakes 30-day experiment to prove it. So they were talking, they're poker players, and he says, okay, small, dark room, no human interaction, 30 days.
Mm-mm.
And the guy agreed to do it for $100,000.
He's going to go crazy. Mm.
Could you do it for $100,000?
Probably, yeah. For $100,000, I could probably do it. You just sleep all day.
So he was about 20 days in, and the guy who put the money up was like, oh, he's not going to quit. And so he said, I'll settle it with you, and he paid him like $60,000.
Okay, I take, yeah, 60,000, that's about the right percentage right there, right? 20 days in, 10 days left, I don't know.
How's he doing after 20 days in?
I don't know, it was a small bathroom, that's where he stayed.
What, the whole time?
At an undisclosed location in Las Vegas, and they set it up November 21st. A bed, refrigerator with the lights removed, along with toiletries, and he could have food, but he couldn't see anything ever. No light was going in. And he didn't know what time it was. The guy had food delivered at all weird times, so he couldn't like map it out with his body.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? I would take that too for $100,000.
Yeah.
You would?
Yeah.
I would drive you crazy, though.
Yes, yeah.
But you gotta try.
I'd be crazy with $100,000. The Bobby
Bones Show. Here's Amy's pile of stories.
So now restaurants are getting in on this whole Bird Box thing, and they're serving meals. One place in particular, you can go in for a 3-course meal, and you eat the entire thing blindfolded.
Wow. Do you know what kind of food you're getting? What if you go and you're a vegetarian and you're like, this ain't like pork?
I mean, I have no idea. I don't know if it's like a predetermined 3-course meal and you just get what you get and it's like you're in Bird Box. It doesn't matter. But yeah, you can go and have this whole Bird Box experience while you eat dinner.
That's funny. What else?
So experts say you should delete your ex's number after a breakup. Like immediately just delete it, take it out of your phone. So Bobby, I didn't know your thoughts on that because normally you stay friends with your exes.
I think deleting a number is a lot because then you can't really contact them with that because we don't remember phone numbers.
Yeah, I mean,
it would be like deleting their address from your memory. And again, I think that's a little misleading because my last girlfriend and I stopped following her on Instagram for a bit. I removed that. It wasn't because we were, you know, not liking each other or upset with each other. Sometimes you just need that to be removed from your immediate circle so you don't see it all the time. But, man, the phone number thing is so much because, again, we don't remember numbers anymore.
Right. I guess it maybe prevents if you do drink or something, you may not be tempted to.
But be an adult. That's why I said just be an adult. Don't get drunk and text your girl or your dude.
Yeah, and I guess
if you are, you probably still want it anyway.
Yeah, and that way you kind of cut off that communication. And yes, to your point, you do always end on good terms is more so what I meant. Like, it's never like a really angry breakup where it has to be like, I'm ripping you out of my life or
something. Well, it's still tough, though. It's always still very tough.
I know. All right, what else? It's hard. So Taco Bell is testing a vegetarian menu. Later this year, they're going to unveil a vegetarian menu for see if people are into it, but it'll be usual meat-filled options, but they're going to be substituted with veggie-friendly things. So
Morgan number two is a vegetarian who loves Taco Bell, right, Morgan number two?
Yeah, I'm so excited about this.
Yeah, so I don't really know what everything's going to taste like or what they're replacing the meat with, but if you're a vegetarian,
broccoli.
You'll have
it's
more.
Always broccoli or tofu.
But yeah, this is good because you'll have more than just like a bean burrito as an option. So
there you go. All right, Amy, thank you.
Yeah, Amy, that's my pile. Bobby Bones.
Yeah. Hey, that's it for today. You can hear the entire show back. Just search Bobby Bones Show on demand. And there's a new Jake Owen podcast up. Just search for the Bobby Cast, where Jake came over to the house for an hour, and it is a fantastic conversation with that dude, where he talks about, you know, maybe his girlfriend being his wife, the name of his daughter, a movie he's in, all that. Search Bobby Cast. I'm going to fly back to Nashville, and I'll see you guys in the studio tomorrow morning. Everybody else, thanks for listening. Thanks to Ryan Hurd for coming by, and we will see you guys tomorrow. All right, that's it. Show's over. Bye, everybody. The Bobby Bones Show.